the shield?
Yeah, it takes sure. It's good. It's like a blackout.
You well, you have to wear it.
Nah, put it on. Okay. Put it up there.
Put it up there. Anything that...
I think you should hold it the entire time like Donnie's...
just go like this. Just hold it.
That's what I mean.
Like Donnie's knives over there.
Get they... this man a shield.
Don't worry about that camera. You can just put it anywhere.
Get this man a shield.
That was incredible.
Yeah, that was you much nailed better than mine. Thank you.
Get that into the mic.
That's, get out of the camera. Get off the camera. We're starting.
I said it, and people were like,
and that's the end of the show. That was a great show. I guess the new show, Corbin Eats Pizza While We Have Fun, is over.
A slice of pizza.
You're doing everything as T'Challa?
Yes.
Do it. That's really good. No, I want to hear more.
See how long this lasts.
It's the Jamaican.
There it is.
No, go for it. Let's do more.
What else can I say?
I don't know.
Well, you have to reply. You stole to me those.
Hold on. What would Jim Ross from the WWE say?
So fuck off. We got a great matchup for you this evening.
He almost fell asleep. Did you guys see that? Justin was all. Justin, I have a
who,
new.
Me?
Oh man.
I have. We should start the show, but I don't. I have too much fun. I'm gonna put the headphones on so I make sure we had a little bit of audio issues last time. So I will, Princess Leia it up here. That's a Princess Leia up. That's I don't go for the dunks.
I think we might have to. I think we might have to hit Trumpos and make him a little angrier.
Nothing.
I just think it's too soon.
It was definitely.
I'm a dad. I'm allowed one or two of those. Justin, I have a new idea for your region, which sounds awkward.
Whoa.
But the Justin region. Anytime we go to you, it's going to be meanwhile back at the Hall of Justin.
That's fit.
And you have
what is
now? You're Jones from Police Academy.
What is happening over there?
Motor Mouth Jones ruled.
He was actually my favorite character.
That the voiceover.
Was
guy?
There another character?
No, the
in
the
Police
dude
Academy.
That was doing beatboxing and everything.
Oh, Motor Mouth Jones, about the announcer from Super Friends. which was that guy. And originally Ted Knight. I used to do this in my acting. Meanwhile, that's the right guy. It was meanwhile back at the Hall of Justice. Oh, flashy, flashy, flashy. You're going to reverse time? We have a theme song that should probably start playing at this point, and let's get rolling right away. I did field a few social media questions from people, and apparently people were amazed we got 100% of our Glass and M. Night Shyamalan, I have trouble saying Shyamalan, trivia and information correct.
Nice.
I'm completely making that up.
Even though there was never a consensus on what it was.
Let's start talking. Yeah. It was over for me.
No, nobody had any idea.
People
which is
left
great.
Asking if when Glass was even a movie. Like, did that actually happen?
Was that glass half full or half empty?
If you guys are going to do it to me.
I'm sorry.
We can't do it to him. He just had a baby.
No, yeah, that's right. By the way, people should know this about Adonis. Your wife or your girlfriend had a baby
Monday.
Yes. It is what? Because I don't know.
It's Wednesday.
Because I have two children already.
That's
and
awesome.
No, it's you had a child 2 days ago, yep. And I have fuzz on me for some reason. And not only
you
that,
have two children.
That's part of it.
Yes.
Fuzz is everywhere. And not only that, you're eventually, in the next month or so, or next 2 months, going in for brain surgery.
Yes, that is very true.
You have a tumor.
Yep.
And
it's causing me to have seizures on a regular basis, so I take medication. But outside of that, I just watch cartoons and read comic books.
Very, very lightly speaking, I have seizures on a regular basis.
You know what was great? I was worried about I brought this down too much, and you brought it right back up from seizures to cartoons. Fantastic. Great. Let's go around the room. We've got Corbin, the master. Just the master of everything.
But especially tank tops.
Yes. Superman, Batman, crossover tank top. Well done. Yeah. Boss.
Yeah, and if you could just talk into the microphone, that would be great, Superman. The microphone is not kryptonite.
Okay.
Hi.
No.
We're still mic checking.
Oh, we're ready to do another mic check.
That's what I was going to say. Sorry.
It's Corbin Blake, right?
Wait, what?
No, that's Adonis Blake.
Yeah.
Corbin
Ford.
Corbin Ford. I haven't practiced everybody's last names. I don't even know if Zach has one or if he's like Madonna.
It's very Madonna-ish.
Oh, no. I know from the Slack thing, Coleman.
Yes, nailed it.
Right, like Gary Coleman.
Just like it.
You were supposed to go, what'd you talk about, Frank?
What you talking about, Frank?
I thought that might be racist.
No, it wouldn't be. Because the way you did it, it was so it's goober good, from Gomer Pyle, Gomer's cousin. Hey, what you talking about, Frank? It was goofy. Hey, what you talking about, Frank? Joe Newcomer, I know your last name.
Because it was on the book.
No, it was. Yeah, that's it.
It's the only reason.
And there was another Joe originally, so I had to call you the newcomer. And then Justin.
Not new anymore.
I honestly thought that was on purpose. I didn't realize that was your real last name.
I do get that a lot.
For a second, and then when I met him, I'm like, oh,
I went to three grade schools, so that joke was played out early. Really? Yeah.
I can understand.
I have a buddy named Waldo.
No, so you really?
No joke. Yeah.
Joke, I see.
No.
Immediately.
See what he did
like,
there?
Where are you? Sorry. He loves it so much.
Justin Neal.
Actually credible, just for the record.
Justin Neal, correct?
Correct.
No, I'm telling you to kneel, Justin. Kneel before me.
You know how many Zod references I've had in my life? Kneel before Zod. And I'm like, that's funny. That's great.
You really get them?
Well, all throughout school, because it was like Neil. You could rhyme it with all kinds of.
Oh, words. Your last name,
Justin. You need to bring that mic closer to you. We got the new mic system,
there
and
we go.
So you.
I think we need to.
Just that couldn't have been the worst joke, though.
So was your last name isn't Time?
I had two
no,
more
no, I.
I was going to say
there was a wrestler. There was a wrestler when I was growing up with the last name Credible. So his name was Justin Credible. And I thought that was funny for a time, but he's got a lot of drug problems, and so we went away from that.
Bringing it right back down.
Let's just skip Donnie. Let's skip Donnie, guys. No, we're not going to introduce Donnie.
I got a magazine I can catch up on.
He's reading Wizard.
Is that a current?
He's literally
that's not current. That's
reading.
That's the this is the last step.
He's catching up. He's trying to be
Green Lantern. Future, right? And that movie was so bad that it killed Wizard magazine. The last issue of Wizard.
He's staying relevant with the Wizard magazine.
Yes. Donnie is the Fred Savage of our show. That's a wizard.
Oh, I do like Winnie. Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was a real movie, wasn't it?
That was a movie.
With the Super Mario Brothers and all that.
It took me a while to catch up, but I'm there.
I had to go about 70.
I have no idea what's going on.
The Wizard? You never seen Wizard? The Wizard? I don't even know.
I saw The Wiz.
I don't even know what my own reference is.
Wasn't that like it was a movie about gaming.
Yeah, it introduced Super Mario Brothers 3.
What year did it come out?
1943.
Super Mario Brothers 3
right
came out
after the war. All right,
we are so relevant tonight.
Yeah,
already.
You know which war ended right before 1943?
The 1942.
The 1942.
That was a video game as well.
1942. It was a video game. It was
an excellent video game.
Atari game.
I remember that one.
All right,
we should not in 1942, but
I
it
think
was called 1942.
I believe so as well.
All right, I think we started the show. From what I remember, Super Bowl coming up, and there's a lot of chatter out there about what is going to happen during the commercial portion, which I believe a lot of people care more about than the game. Brought to my attention by Hall of Justin that. There were some substantial purchases of advertising time.
Right. Disney has bought a lot of space for this upcoming Super Bowl, more so than ever before, because of all the property acquisitions they've made.
Is that an official number that we got? A lot?
Good fact. Since everything's kind of like hush-hush between numbers online, like they have insider reports and I've corroborated it with multiple outlets where they basically said like Disney has purchased a substantial chunk of time since basically it's $5 million for each 30-second spot. And they've purchased at least five or more.
Okay.
So information that I have so far is it's actually supposed to be one of the lightest Super Bowls of movie trailers for some reason. There's a lot of people sitting this one out for some reason. So at Warner
Maybe
Brothers,
Tom Brady?
Yeah.
That's why.
Hashtag Deflategate.
Oh, man. Saints got cheated out of that. But anyway.
Not by Tom Brady, though. The man's a saint.
Right. Just, you know. Warner Brothers is sitting out, so apparently we're not getting a spot for Shazam or their new Joker movie or even It Chapter 2 that was talked about. Sony's out, so you're not getting another Spider-Man spot, perhaps. Like I said, this is conjecture, but a lot of people are saying the same thing, so you're arriving at the same conclusion. The biggest disappointment for me personally and for a lot of folks is going to be we're apparently not getting a Star Wars Episode 9 trailer at all.
Even though they're owned by Disney?
Yeah, we're supposed to. I've heard that rumor since the end of last year. We're supposed to get one on Christmas Day. We were supposed to get one New Year's Eve, and now it just keeps coming. It's probably looking like April. There's a giant Star Wars convention in Chicago called Celebration that they have every few years, and they like to debut their footage at a place like that. So it looks like that's where it's going to be.
I'm sorry. I thought Joe had like a health scare. Turns out he just didn't have his notebook.
I forgot something.
Yeah, okay.
I was going to concern myself.
Like, I was not all that for that. When you said I have to go, I thought either you got a text, but then you left your phone. Like I thought like, something was wrong
at
home.
Yeah, I was running out of here, man.
I thought you had to use the bathroom.
Like, that's what I really thought it was.
That's why I thought, let me get like, let when, you, when you have to use the bathroom in the middle of the movie.
I would just walk out.
I think he was starting to get really angry. I mean, the way you're seated right in front of Bruce Banner, or right in front of the Hulk, is like, Hulk, Bruce Banner becoming Hulk.
No, I feel even smaller.
You just had to go.
I'm like, I'm next to this guy, and I'm like, now I'm really dwarfed.
Did I tell you guys when Lou Ferrigno came to my show in Vegas?
No.
Lou Ferrigno came to the show. I never point people out in the show, and I pointed out, because I thought, this is cool, the Incredible Hulk is at my show. I point him out, he'd left. He went to bed, apparently. And wow. I thought maybe he'd walk out and like Bill Bixby, you'd hear the music. Da, 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 da. I thought maybe he was turning back and the clothes weren't going to fit him.
So he was in the audience.
He was there.
You called him out.
And he'd already gone because the PR person said, no, don't do it. And then I thought about it. He can't hear very well. And why is he coming to see a guy who does impressions
in a big theater? He's really good at reading lips.
Which would be great. Which is,
I'm just
give that man a shield.
Wakanda forever.
So back to the trailers.
Yes,
Disney paid $5 million, and they each 30 seconds is $5 million.
Yeah, so it's $5 million.
So we might only get 30 seconds.
$5 million for each 30-second spot, and the spots that have been confirmed so far. That's pretty much like you can bank on it. By Disney so far is definitely Captain Marvel. She's getting one, given her imminent release date of March 8th. Dumbo, their new live action. Yeah.
Is anybody excited about
it? Corbin just made such a disgusting face when he heard about Dumbo.
I guess it plays to the younger audience.
Yeah.
The younger Patriot fans, I guess.
The Dumbo?
Well, the cartoon is from the 40s.
The cartoon has definitely been... reforged, given some things that should definitely not be in it today for normal audiences.
Did they remove the old-timey racism?
Those the crows are not there.
Donnie's got something. Hold on, guys.
No, I was saying that that cartoon was made in the 40s. So, I mean, it's outdated for sure.
Before the war.
I'm glad I stopped it.
Before the war.
Is it pre-war?
I mean, I could have bought, like, Detective Comics number 27, the first Batman. Well, no, 39, 38. Yeah, it's around there.
27. Oh, you're asking what year? I don't know.
I have no idea, but I'm
really
enjoying this.
Really,
so much.
Really
is,
brought it back.
Is this 39 with Batman? But anyway, sorry.
All right.
About Dumbo?
Yeah.
All right. So sorry to take us off on a
Why
tangent.
Why are we talking about Dumbo?
I was just wondering. I knew Captain it was off Marvel. On a tangent. I was just wondering what the deal was. All right, go ahead.
It had to be something.
Further rumors suggest maybe another spot for Toy Story 4.
Oh,
Tom Hanks wrapped up his ADR recording today for the last time for this project. It could be very well be one of the last times that we get that. Mm-hmm. I know that the biggest one that everybody wants and is hopefully confirmed is they have like a really like big spot. They're going to put like right in the middle of like the first quarter, which is prime time for any spot is like the closer you get to the game is costs more, but we're supposed to get an end game trailer.
Are they going to call it End Zone?
So, yeah. Avengers End Zone.
End Zone.
The refs get the call wrong and they have to go back in time and fix it.
Yeah, I wish you've been holding on to that one?
Been sitting on it.
That was great. That was like,
back to, say it again. Can we talk more about those commercials, please? I have a good one. I really want to get this joke out.
No. Well, you nailed it, man.
Thank you.
No, I'll go down the list. Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw. So you're going to get a trailer for the spinoff series with The Rock and Jason Statham. Hellboy, you're supposed to see one from him. And one of the surprise ones that I'm intrigued is Stranger Things Season 3 is supposed to debut a trailer for that because they did it last year for Season 2, so they're expecting it to happen again, which would be awesome. I love that show.
I would like to talk some more Dumbo. When was that from, Donnie? When was Dumbo?
Don't quote me. It's like 1938-39. I just remember seeing it, and I was like, dang, that's old.
Dang.
I'm getting choked to death.
Wow. Glad we got there so quickly.
Are we not getting, Justin, any Lion King love? I mean, the Queen Bee's in this one. Like, that comes out this summer, does it not?
That was next on my list, actually, so you did a great job predicting
Stranger
that.
Things before you said
yeah,
Lion King.
So Lion King is on there. Okay. Detective Pikachu is supposed to get another trailer because we got a live-action Pokemon. That one. And then maybe, like, How to Train Your Dragon. The weirder thing is Fox. There's conjecture online that says that they are going to showcase that Alita Battle Angel movie instead of Dark Phoenix, which is supposed to be in June, because of the Disney Fox merger, they might be trying to bury it. Oh. So that's intriguing to see if we get a Dark Phoenix trailer, because it's overdue for something now. Given 6 months from now, it'll be out. So. But yeah, Disney bought up a lot. We expect some good things from them this year. But looks
good. All right, sounds like that one died out.
Good. Did you guys hear about Momoa maybe in the next Fast and Furious just randomly?
I did hear that.
On a boat. I hope so. I hope he just demolishes the whole thing. Just ends it.
Ends the franchise.
I can't take another Fast and
the entire franchise.
Infuriated.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, we're gonna move on to the next topic. We talked about this a bunch leading up to the show in the last couple of weeks. I'd never really gotten into it. Superhero TV shows. And since we're starting out here pretty early, we don't want to get into advanced storylines yet. Overall, we can get into that a little bit maybe, but what I'm thinking is I just want to hear from you guys what shows you're watching, and we'll hear from our listeners what they want to hear more about. So your time on the show depends on you selling this pretty well. So let's start. Zach, you got something? Have you been watching anything?
I'm watching The Punisher right now. I haven't finished it yet, but so far starting strong. Love the continuity. Love how it spun off from Daredevil.
Did you watch Daredevil?
Yeah. Love Daredevil. It's been my favorite of those Marvel shows that have been on Netflix.
Yeah.
It was interesting. The first episode I saw and I was like,
this is Punisher or Daredevil.
Okay. Daredevil. I thought it was just going to be like Law and Order meets superheroes, because it was just like, oh, they're lawyers and they're working on a case and he's also dressing up at night and beating up people. And then it just took it to a much better level than what that was. And, so battling out with the Kingpin, the continuity and I hate to say it in like a superhero show, but like the realism is impressive. It's hard to watch the Punisher and be like, he killed a lot of people and somehow nobody shot him. He does get shot here and there, but like the Daredevil action scenes where he is just like in a hallway fighting, there's and just getting more and more tired throughout the action scene. It's just really interesting to watch and is a real treat compared to just everybody blows up and they're all fine and they just run around at each other again.
Yeah, so. Those fight scenes are intense. The choreography is incredible.
Yeah.
In some of that stuff. And the because of the obvious darkness, he's always fighting in darkness to equalize the playing field. It's lit so well in the darkness. It sounds like a stupid thing to say.
And usually there's like a red exit sign, so there's always that tint of red that's in the background.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool.
The opening is incredible. Let's talk about that. It's like the best opening of any show I've ever seen.
Like with the opening credits?
The red blood-looking stuff melting down over absolutely
It's funny.
Everything.
It's like the one show that you watch and you're like, I'm not going to skip intro.
Right? You're going to watch it every time.
Actually, this is fun.
I actually have gotten into several arguments with my girlfriend about me watching intros. she's constantly skipping the intros, and I'm telling her, don't touch that. I want to watch this. You already know what it's going to do, but I enjoy it. That's why I'm watching it. Mm. But you already know what it's going to do. And I'm just like, can I just watch this, please? Or do you want to just ruin this entire experience for me? And she's just like, fine, you do whatever you want.
Wait, can I say something on Daredevil?
No.
Okay.
So, yeah, absolutely, Donnie. I know.
No, I'm just saying the fighting scenes are so good, you honestly don't even think he's blind. It's just incredible.
Well, the guy is not actually blind.
He has his senses, but he literally can't, you know, hear it. I mean, but...
Right, but you know it's an actor playing him, right?
Hear a punch coming at you.
Am I missing something?
Do you think...
I'm confused. Justin is falling out of his chair.
Don, explain that to me.
Well, you're saying he's not
like
blind.
A jerk right now. I don't mean to come off like a jerk. I just love Donnie so much that the take on this is blowing me away. It doesn't seem like he's blind, but... Because he's not actually he's an actor playing.
But he is British.
But he's yes.
I know, but he's okay, not so playing like he is blind. He's playing like, oh, there you are. You know, that's what I'm saying. He's blind, but he's fighting like he's not.
Right, but the
character Daredevil is blind.
I do know that. now Donnie's talking to me like I'm stupid.
Not Charlie
like
Cox.
He's like he's feeding you pudding.
How did you just turn that? That's brilliant. You just Homer Simpson and Bart Simpson me where they flipped. One became the stupid one and one became the smart one.
So Charlie Cox, the actor, I think, is what Frank's referring to.
Well, Charlie Cox, but... I guess I'm just missing. I think everybody else seems to get what you're talking about, and I'm the idiot, so I'm fine with that.
Justin's still losing it. He can't handle himself right now.
Justin, try and do Jim Ross while laughing like this.
It's not possible.
And stay closer to your mic. You're gonna have to fight you on the mic. He falls off of it.
I am like, as close as I can be unless this thing is shoved in my face. Hello.
That's it. That's where you got to be. Right, so you got to bring it up to you a little bit more. I think the people that should understand this too that are listening, a lot of this crew has never really been in this situation on a show to talk into a mic. Joe's done some stuff with a band, been involved with the comedy clubs. Corbin, I don't know if you've ever talked
podcast
to
experience.
Oh, you've done some podcasts, so you're pretty close. Adonis has done everything in the world in entertainment, and Zach
also everything.
It's clear.
Donnie, have you been involved in anything using a microphone before?
This is it. Yeah, I mean, I did a little karaoke, but it wasn't good. I was like,
Donnie, I think you just created our next video.
Donnie, what's your go-to song, man?
No, you guys, you had to be there. I was watching like the music of a
Donnie Oki. Who said that? Hold on, time out. Donnie Oki just beat Hall of Justin.
I was watching the Beatles, you know, na 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 na, hey Jude, you know, and I was like 16, and these are doing karaoke. I was like, hey, Reed, my friend, we got to go on stage and sing this. It's the only lyrics, man. We got it. So we get on there and we're like, hey Jude, what have you done? You know, just like we didn't know.
The words are on the screen.
We had to have backup. We had to have backup
like
people
Charlie
come.
Cox being able to fight, even though he's blind.
You know you're not blind,
but
right?
We had to have backup people, and then we didn't even get an applause or anything.
Oh, you know what? And yet I'm pretty sure you deserved it.
It was scary. You
definitely did. Well done, Donnie.
Oh, man.
I actually do feel bad for him, though.
For who?
I just feel bad. Like, if you get up there and you don't get a clap,
everyone gets
somebody,
something, man.
Something, right?
Yeah. Chicken fried. I don't even know.
Even, like,
I didn't even
pity
get a can
clap.
Thrown at me or something.
No. Maybe you just didn't hear it.
Were there any other people there?
Chose not to.
You chose not to.
Did everybody walk out in the middle like Lou Ferrigno?
Sorry. Was Lou Ferrigno there?
He wasn't there.
He would have heard anyway. So, I mean,
he doesn't clap.
He wouldn't have known.
I was thinking about doing my Lou Ferrigno impression, but then I realized that could be problematic, right?
Because
I care about people.
I once had an arm wrestling match with Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah?
Yeah. At
Is that
Comic
where the scar
yes.
came from?
No, we went to Comic-Con when I first moved here in school, and I saw him, and I was like, that's the Hulk. And he was like, hi. And I said, hi. And I said, can I do an arm wrestle? Oh, I don't do that for, you know, legal purposes. And I said, oh, okay. And then he put his elbow down and I was like, oh, I'm going to do this. And I sat there and I did that and he grabbed my hand and I knew he was big and I knew he was bigger than normal. But when he grabbed my hand, it felt like a dad holding their child's hand. It was very peaceful.
Man. That's when you realize your
real dad is Lou Ferrigno. You're not actually from Jamaica. You're an accidental overdose of gamma radiation.
Yes, I'm. This is where the tumor is.
Oh, Jesus.
That's it. I knew there was a connection. I knew you were going there.
I'll stay afraid. I'll go to the deep.
I wanted
it.
I kind of want to reenact the arm wrestle.
Yes, absolutely.
How great that you... Oh, the fact that you always have Hulk hands.
Yes.
And then I'm going to reenact the snap. All right. The decimation.
And half of us are gone.
And it's only Donnie left.
Did anybody look to see if Donnie was there?
Dang, where'd everybody go?
Donnie only has half a catchphrase. Dang. Corbin's wah. Dang. Wah. Dang. Wah. All right, so we got into Daredevil. Did anybody watch Iron Fist?
I actually did.
Did you love it?
Loved it.
The worst.
I think that's sarcastic. Loved
it. It was not, the not worst. Even being sarcastic.
I'm totally
loved
dumb.
It.
Really?
So I, enjoyed it.
You're kidding.
I thought it was weird.
Okay,
that
one at a time. One at a time.
So
one
much.
At a time.
Yeah. You guys say why it's bad.
Well, no. Do you tell me why it's good first? I mean,
I will counter. I will counter. Counter. Point. You point. No. I thought it was just it was different. It was kind of like about this like weird sort of like corporate situation in addition to being a superhero story. And I thought that, I mean, I can handle slow. I should also add that in because some people kind of expect a lot of action. Yeah. And I talked, you know, Daredevil's got great action in it.
You expect some Iron Fist.
You expect the fist to be iron-ish. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think maybe the villains could have been better, but I definitely didn't mind the story. I mean...
acting seemed very off to me. It was very weird where I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be kind of weird, bad, or if it wasn't. And once I assumed that they were doing that on purpose... almost like a kung fu type of like a throwback to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I started to enjoy it a lot more because it was almost like the story was almost being told as though it was Danny and his awkwardness. Mm-hmm. And what do you have, Adonis?
Well, I know for Finn Jones.
It's so easy to tell that you have not had much sleep.
I'm sorry. No.
No. No. No.
Anywho, Finn Jones. Had just gotten finished with Game of Thrones, so he didn't have very much time to rehearse as much as Charlie Cox did. So that's why a lot of it was kind of it felt more forced. I read that after I started watching. I think I got up to episode 3, and I was like. Okay. And it took me a long time. That one took me the longest to finish out of all the Marvel series on Netflix.
And now that I know that, I like it a little less. But Joe, you're a big fan?
I didn't like it at all.
Oh, I thought you did.
I just felt like I was laboring to try to like it. I wanted to like it.
I was too.
Yeah.
And I was trying not to think less of you for loving it so much because I thought that's where you're coming from. But go ahead.
Oh, no, that's it. I mean, the acting, I just couldn't watch it. I got... like 4 or 5 episodes in, and I was like, I can't.
It was so wooden and odd, but it had an appeal to me that way for some reason for a while. And it was, I guess I was reading too much into it. So then what about Luke Cage?
I loved the first half of the first season, Luke Cage, of Cottonmouth as the villain.
Yeah. First half perfect. Of the first, okay.
Yeah, because they they didn't drastically change tones, but the tone was changed after
Cottonmouth.
After Cottonmouth was killed. Or you guys haven't seen it, it's been like years now. But they developed
spoiler alert.
It was pretty good. They had a villain that, he didn't have any superpowers, but the way he like commanded the streets and kind of built up his own army, it was like, wow, this could really come to like a very climatic finish. Like, it's going to be great. And then he was just offed, and the villain became like a one-note kind of, you know, roll him out villain of the week, except he was like for the remainder of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and Mariah, her
she was the
villain. Yeah, but she was so like cliche. I mean, her and what was the
I forgot what his name was.
The other guy,
the typical
well, no, Diamondback, but the one with the, he kept having the glasses, like the
Hitman
type. Shades, exactly. Oh. Like it felt like, okay, you really were building something different, but it was interesting, it was cool, you know, kind of offbeat, but it really appealed to, you know, the streets and the community and everything. And then it just went to, okay, now we're gonna roll it out like a regular comic book show. I mean, I didn't have any faults against it. I think the first season was very solid overall, but I found it weird they started so promising and so different, only to kind of regress back to the same norm.
And Luke Cage came from Jessica Jones in the in the series.
He appeared there first.
A lot of people around me that really loved Jessica Jones, and I tried to get into it. You're a big Jessica Jones?
That's my favorite one. I like it.
I like
Daredevil.
It too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
What did you like about it?
I liked her as the character. Okay. I thought it was just a great cast. It didn't have anything that I looked at and said, oh, I don't like that. It didn't jar me or make me not want to watch it anymore. And that's probably the biggest thing about these shows. I think if you can get through the whole season and you don't see something that you're like, ugh, like it just makes you strain to
so
keep
not
watching.
Disliking something
makes me like it
really good. Yeah.
But other than
that's how you get married.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey,
Donnie, you got something?
Oh yeah, no, I like the villain Killjoy in it from season one. He was awesome. They brought him back in season two. I heard about why? Because I was like, he's dead. But it turns out, spoiler alert, it was just in her head. You know, when Killjoy would appear. Killjoy would appear in season two.
Killgrave.
Yeah, jeez, where did I get Killjoy from? But
this is just what you're thinking all the time.
Yeah.
Man, what a Killjoy. I feel like there's just too many episodes of all of those series, though.
Really?
I think if they, yeah, I mean, Luke Cage felt like it dragged on, even though I loved it. I felt the same way about Daredevil.
How fast were you trying to watch them? Were you trying to watch them all at once? No, it's not a jerky kind of question. Oh, I mean,
no, it was like one per week. I'm trying to watch The Punisher faster because I felt like I should know things about it for the podcast. But generally, like one per week, and I would just think, is it over yet? I would think you cut out two or three episodes each season, kind of for each series. Like there were fillers.
I think then it's not fulfilling what you want it to be, because like I'll watch a show like Better Call Saul. You guys know that show?
Oh yeah.
And for some people, they're like, that's way too slow. I don't have any, and I can't wait for the next episode. So you might not be the target demo of that show. And Netflix, they know. They can tell.
Yeah. I'm a binger, so I sit there and I just roll through them. Honestly, the only reason why I turn it off is because I have to go somewhere or I need to sleep. Mm-hmm. So that's basically it.
And I actually am of the opinion that sometimes they could do away with, like you said, it's too slow, like cutting away filler episodes, which I thought that Iron Fist had a few of, and others do.
There has to be a reason for that monetarily. Like the actor is going to make a certain amount of money, so they have to put it into a certain amount of episodes. Or the way, a lot of times the way it works in Hollywood productions, they amortize. Let's say this is the wrong budget, but let's say it's $1 million. Well, we can spend $1 million and get 6 episodes, or we can spend $1 million and get 3 episodes, because certain things would be used over and over and over. Like you get the stage for the same amount of time, we might as well use it for more. And so a better way of looking is like for $1.5 million, you can make 12. For $1 million, you can make 8. Mm. So you could make that much more. It's like you could make 10. So you make 10 for $1 million, and for 12, you can. That's all terrible math.
I was trying to get you. The numbers.
Justin crunching the numbers back there.
It was,
no, see, to me, it's less that I never felt like there was an individual episode that was too slow for me. Like I said earlier, I don't mind slow episodes, but I felt like it took too long to get to the end of the season. Like if there was an episode where I didn't feel like the character or the story really progressed, that's when it bothered me. Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad, shows like that, they're slow, but you see that character progression happening, and that's what I felt like I was missing by having like 13 episodes. Make it 10, 11, and I'm not complaining. I like them all, but if I had any complaint, that would be it.
Did you feel more about that with any of the certain characters? Like, did you see that in Daredevil more, or did you see that in Luke Cage more?
It's pretty, for me, it's been pretty consistent on that level, yeah.
I know for me, it felt like they dragged along Iron Fist a lot.
Yep.
They should have progressed that a lot faster so we can get on to the next stage, because it wasn't until the end of the second season when I got like super hype. Because he had both of his fists glowing. And that was the main thing. I was like, okay, why does he only have one? I understand it's Iron Fist, not Iron Fists. But...
<It'd> be great.
Settle.
But I was like, he only has one. What's going on? And when are him and Luke Cage going to team up? Because Luke Cage and Iron Fist that's what I was looking forward to. Because when I saw that Iron Fist got canceled, I immediately thought, okay, they're probably going to put them both in a singular show. And that's why I started to get really hyped, especially at the end of season two when he had both of his fists glowing. I was like, okay, cool. Now I'm excited to see where they're going. I love the soundtrack of both of them because they definitely pulled from the era of when it came out, late 70s, early 80s, things like that. And that's when the dawn of hip hop and all of that. And they had that feel, that grunge street level feel, because they are street level heroes. And that's why they were the Defenders. They were on the street. Avengers are worldwide.
Defenders, Prestige. By the way, only 8 episodes. I thought it was too short. So how's that sound to you guys?
They probably got the feedback of the first ones and then
from me.
Shortened it up a little bit. Just on you.
Specifically me.
CIA,
taking a little bit
CIA
too long on this.
And Netflix in your computer.
They're always listening.
So, I have a question. What do y'all think about, it's not Netflix, but Gotham? Because I think that's almost too long.
I actually really liked season one of Gotham. I liked it because it was very Dark Knight, real feeling. Season two became a lot more. The name's escaping me now. It's okay.
Tim Burton.
It became very Tim Burton-y. You would see angles from corners shooting down, but it was about the villains, which seemed to be what wasn't that season two was villains?
Yeah,
and it was about the villains. So that's always what Tim Burton seemed to be more about as well. But it got so goofy in that segment. But then I kind of got brought into it and started to believe the world a little bit more. I thought the actors were fantastic in it. It just seemed a little over the top and a little crazy to me compared to season one.
So is it hard for you guys to get into, like to accept the world that you're in when you're watching a show like that? Is
like
it hard
the
for you?
Suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. Do you just like automatically accept the world that they create and then go you have to be brought in?
It took me for a while on that, because the first one seemed grittier and more real.
Okay.
And like I said, as it got to season two and three, I started to catch on to it a little more and started to just accept that world. But I was sold because I wanted to see the show. I wanted to see the evolution of Batman. Bruce Wayne. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I just was thrown off a little bit by how zany it got so quickly to me and other people. But other people thought it was way better in season two.
They're probably appealing more to the fans of the detective comics, the Adam West feel and things like that. Mm-hmm. I am much more a Dark Knight Frank Miller. Like, that's,
is there
that's
shark repellent in the villains?
I bet you didn't know I was wearing my super freezing bat underwear. Do you remember that?
Oh, man.
Greetings, Robin.
Were you
Boy
all
Wonder.
It's totally aside. Were you all cool with the premise of having like Gotham City and the villains developed before there was actual Batman? That's the first time I'm asking you guys that question. So like for me, that actually, and I'm kind of ashamed of admitting it now, turned me off. I was like, no, I'm not going to watch a Batman without Batman. Like,
is that a chicken and egg thing? Like, does the superhero need villains first a superhero?
And that's what's so interesting. The Batman mythos is like, that's an argument in the sense that Batman kind of creates his villains, or the villains exist because of Batman.
That's
and so
the Batman Gotham, Lego movie was all about that.
Yeah, and Gotham just kind of went and Well, I didn't really check that out. I'm sorry.
Well,
it's actually pretty good. No, I
know. It's the only Batman he can get, okay?
That's all I get. All
right, well, I think we need to move on from this. This is something we can come back because we didn't hit any of the CW shows. We can get into a little more Gotham. Yeah. I actually have a friend who was on Gotham. He played Solomon Grundy, Drew Powell. Oh, okay. He might even come on the show at some point if I beg or pay. but he's talked about that. So we're going to get into now, I still don't understand exactly what this is, and Donnie just perked up because he knows. So as we were going through possibilities for the show this week, texting back and forth, everybody in the group, Donnie, I thought it was a miscommunication at first, but apparently Donnie has a rant. And if there's one thing that – one word that I associate with Donnie – it is rant. So I couldn't wait to hear what this was. So what do you got for us, Donnie?
Well, what I want to rant, but I also made it a fun facts and laughs.
So and who wouldn't make a rant?
Very similar things.
Fun facts and laughs.
Ranting on fun facts. Okay.
No, we had to fire Doug the cue card guy because he just wasn't understanding this and he was doing this instead. And I was like, no, you just, oh, Doug. So I just fired him. So
goodbye, Doug.
Got juice.
So I was so excited that Marvel was going to make a New Mutants movie. For those of you who don't know who the New Mutants are, they're like the Saved by the Bell, the new class. They're the New Mutants coming into Xavier's mansion.
So, hold on, Donnie. That's the most brilliant thing you've said. Everybody was waiting for something ridiculous, and you came with brilliant. All right.
What I'm talking about, but I can make
maybe
it funny,
I'll have the guy I know who was on Saved by the Bell in the new class come on the show one day.
Do you know somebody from
I actually do. That's,
who's that?
That's do you know people that were on it? I used to work with a guy.
Well, is this like before Facebook when people said they had a girlfriend in another city?
David Cronmiller.
I don't know David. No, okay, hold on. I don't want you to, I don't want to throw Donnie off.
I can't get derailed. Yeah. So,
derailed. Somebody isolate that.
Off the rails with Donnie.
So I was excited they're going to do a New Mutants movie. They're actually going to make it a three-parter. So New Mutants the first appearance of the New Mutants is not New Mutants number one. It's going to be Marvel Graphics number four. It's actually a graphic novel. There's 6 prints of it, so look for the $4.95 printing.
Donnie, hold on. Are you using the magazine to hold your notes?
They're sticky notes. It's called convenience. Hey, it's cheaper than what you pay Doug
for a million years just to be part of it.
We were just allowed in class hiding a comic book behind the textbook.
Yes. We were just allowed behind the curtain, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
That's how you blend in. So, anyways, New Mutants is also the creator of New Mutants 87, Cable, New Mutants 98, Deadpool, New Mutants 99, Shatterstar. But what I want to get at is they started filming in 2017. They filmed it within 2 months, so that kind of scared me. So they got Macy Williams from Game of Thrones, Anya Joy Taylor. We saw her in Glass, and she was the captive lady. Anyways, I'm derailing myself here.
Donnie O'Keefe.
Supposed to come out April.
It's like, again, he has the lyrics in front of him, but he's still going.
It's weird. We are reliving. I did see you were looking up into the left to think of things.
I'm thinking if I worded this right. Like, what was I doing when I was writing this out? Like, does this make sense?
It doesn't, but it's great. It doesn't have to.
Anyways, the movie's been postponed 3 times, and they tested it for reshoots. They thought, ooh, let's make it scarier. It did so good. Let's go full rated R. And Dark Phoenix got its reshoots because it tested bad, and I kind of wonder if that's why it's sitting out on the Super Bowl, and it may what I'm getting to is going to happen. So anyways, it's supposed to come out August 2nd of this year, but Boone and Fox, they're having creative differences right now, and the Disney deal's ending soon, so more than likely Hulu's going to pick it up.
Whoa.
Yeah. So what I'm getting at is why do creators not follow the script? You got the script right in front of you, a bunch of stack of comic books. I mean, even The Walking Dead, you didn't have to kill Coral off. Just replace his characters.
And there was the rant. I mean, the ranting part.
Seriously.
Up until that, hold on.
So much lead up.
Up until that point, it was just fun facts. But then it became a rant, and that's when it became real. No, nobody gets to comment.
No, I mean.
Hold on. Shh.
We're moving on. If Boone stuck to the New Mutants script, you know, the movie would already been out and he'd already be doing good. But
Donnie,
I want to
just stuck the landing.
I want to go
do another dive.
So anyways,
because if you dive and you stick the landing, it's a problem.
You're probably doing the wrong.
All right. Order. So anyways, if you guys haven't got back into the,
I said stick the landing and dive.
No, correct me, because that was brutal what I just did. That was what I did. I'm glad I called it out of myself, because if you got to come at me on that, because it was the stupidest thing I've said.
Not replacing Bob Costas anytime soon.
All right,
but I'm not done.
What?
Not done.
Oh, okay.
All right. So, just speaking of The Walking Dead, if you guys got out of it because they killed Coral, it's actually really good right now. They made a Judith Grimes. They made her 8 years old now, so she's like the new Coral.
Did everybody else age at the same speed?
Yeah.
Okay, because it'd been really great if she aged
replaced
faster.
Replaced a few characters. But anyways, fun fact on The Walking Dead number one, it is a short print of 7,000, plus, but there's actually a manufacturer's error. I know this isn't The Walking Dead, but if this were, say, Image right here, it would say mature readers in white. That's the one you do not want. You want the one that says it in black. There was a error when they first went into printing. 15 to 20% got printed with the black over the white saying mature readers. So if you have the black mature reader, that's the one you want. There's your fun fact.
Are you...
Thank you, Danny.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Thank you.
Hold on. Hold on, real quick.
Hey. Hold on. He's done.
But my mic was out. Oh, thank you. Finally.
Hold on. That wasn't for the rant. That was for your karaoke.
You deserve the clap.
What did you have, Justin?
I would like to note that the producer of New Mutants that he was talking about is also the director of Dark Phoenix. It's his first directorial project. And one of the initial things I'd read about of why Dark Phoenix went back for reshoots besides story was he made a call to have some sets destroyed before they were done doing reshoots, and they had to go back and digitally recreate a bunch of stuff because he basically is like, oh yeah, trash it, we're done. They're like, the studio like flipped out because they weren't done, so it cost them another like $50 million to recreate everything.
Wow. So the sets are gonna look like
there
Superman's
could be some
mouth.
Producer issues there, but just my thoughts on that
in the Super Bowl for that.
All right, Superman, Reign of the Superman, who's on? Who's going?
Well, I guess.
Yeah, just okay. Go.
So, yeah, I had the privilege of watching that when it first came out in theaters. It was a select certain amount of theaters throughout the country that had it. I think it was like 500. And they played a double feature. So they did it's the second part, Reign of Superman, animated release that DC's done in as many years. The first one was The Death of Superman. And they kind of changed the story. They stuck mostly to the comic principles, which I appreciated, but the artwork was different, kind of fitting more of the New 52 kind of run, yes. And changed some characters around and slight adjustments. So as far as The Reign of Superman, I actually enjoyed it. This was the first time that they were really adapting off of the comic book. There's been like four different adaptations of The Death of Superman, from Batman vs. Superman to two different anime movies that DC's done. In fact, their first animated movie in general, Superman Doomsday, was the first one in their entire set of doing. That was in 2007. But I enjoyed it. I think that, you know, having read the comics and owning them and reading them over, you see... The movie did a great job of giving time, I think, to each Superman at the very beginning. They didn't build it up like the comics did, but the reason why is because comics took a totally different path as far as story and direction. For example, the Justice League that were involved in the 90s were like the B team of Justice League. It was like Blue Beetle and Booster Gold and, you know, players like that. Where in the movies, they brought like, obviously, Wonder Woman, Batman, you know, the A team.
So Donnie would be mad because they weren't following the script that was already written.
It's right in front of your face.
Exactly. But I actually like the way that they did it, because the Justice League, of course, there was a scene where you can't really have the Justice League being a big significant factor in this movie. So I'm not going to do any spoilers here, but they did a great plot device where they were basically taking out the story. And you really focused on Lois Lane, who's the star of the show. In general, she's trying to kind of find her way through all four Superman to see who's the real one. And I think the story comes down to a satisfying conclusion, in my opinion. It was a little bit rushed, hour and a half. You have four Supermen, a lot to build up to. Then you have to, like, each one had their own battle in the comics. I'm sure you all remember. Mm-hmm. The movie just said, forget that. We'll do one big scene where they all have one fight. And that's your introduction to each one, basically. And there was other parts in there as well that were, I feel, could have been paced a little bit better. But all in all, it was very satisfying. I think I enjoyed it the best. And at the very end, they kind of went back to Superman's case, especially his original uniform, and then teased this new movie that's going to be coming out very soon where they face a very popular Superman villain. That's all I'm going to say about that.
All right.
So let me make sure I understand the premise.
Yes.
Superman dies.
So, yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's like Alexander the Great dying. You've got like all these other like generals, like nobody was named like the successor, and they're all just they're battling it out to take over his empire. Is that kind of what it is?
That's literally perfect. It's set right. 6 months after he dies. And so there's the appearance of four different ones. Cyborg Superman, basically half man, half
like Mecha Godzilla.
There's the Eradicator, Superman if he wore goggles and just offed people. Yeah. There's Superboy, who is just that Superboy.
But Superboy had been around before this, right?
Yes, and okay. I mean in this form it was a clone. I think they had a comic that came out. No, they had a TV show.
They did have a TV show, yeah. But then they also had a comic, and those are the ones where you had the leather jacket.
Exactly, and that's kind of where they're going off with this one. Because in DC's kind of messing around with that, because they already have a Superboy in the Young Justice Outsiders. Yep. This is a different one. Basically, he's 90s lingo, he's the clone, all of that. And then last but not least, you had Steel.
Yes.
Who, you guys might remember the horrible Shaq movie.
Shaquille O'Neal again. Oh, boy. 2 weeks in a row.
Wow.
It doesn't get any better than this guy. Can you dig it?
And he was.
I saw Donnie doing karaoke. It was unbelievable.
I didn't clap.
But I wanted to do a duet with him.
And of all the Supermen, Steel was the only one who didn't say he was Superman. He said, listen, Superman's not there. I'm just kind of filling the void. Yep. The other ones were like, yeah, we're Superman. So that's kind of where it kind of goes off. But
I always liked – I really liked Steel. I thought he was really cool. I liked his idea, like where he came from and everything. He was kind of like a mix between Iron Man and Superman kind of. I just thought the idea of him was pretty cool.
It was cool. That right. outfit.
So, yeah, it was – I remember when that came out in the comics. That was around the time when I was like really starting to pay attention to what storylines meant and what was going on and where the arcs were going and what's to come and things like that. Before then, I was just paying attention to the pencils, the line work and the covers. And that's when I started to just really pay attention. And then this animated series came out, and then that's when they had Batman and Superman
Those books actually left a bad taste in my mouth, and that's why I haven't watched the movie.
Really?
Everyone made this big deal out of these, all these Superman dies, Superman's coming back, all this stuff. And the comic books were supposed to be, like, worth everything. You know, so everybody ran out and bought all these comic books.
It was in mainstream news.
It was huge. Superman dies, absolutely. Right? Yeah. So you bought all these comic books up, and it turns out they made, like, well, is it a gajillion,
yeah,
Justin?
Yeah, it's like
and, a billion. And they're worth nothing. So after that, I was like, Justin keeps trying to sell me on the movie. I'm sure eventually I'll watch it.
I recommend it. It's
pretty
good.
Just if you watch it, then at least then you know where you want to go with your opinion about Superman henceforth.
Also, a little quick cheat, DC Universe, if you're not signed up, you can get like a free like 3-day trial. Sign up for the 3-day trial, watch the movie because it's there, and then there you are. No other pay a dime for it.
Have you watched Titans at all?
Yes.
How is it? Oh man, that kills me.
That's another ISO. That's another ISO. Somebody get that.
Sorry.
It's important to note that both of those movies got a 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it wasn't too bad.
All right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. One of the things we're going to start doing here is something that I think a lot of people in comics or that love comics and superheroes in general like to do. And Joe and I had talked about this a bunch, creating your own superhero. And Joe wanted to start it off tonight, today, and get us kicked off and see where it'll go.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think everybody that likes comics probably has an idea of some sort of superhero or somebody with superpowers that might not be very heroic. Just a comic book in general. And do you guys all have like somebody in mind? Like somebody
I have a guy that he can fight at night, and it seems like he can see, but he can't.
Dang.
Wow.
Dang. No.
You're out of
Donnie's there. Donnie's no longer listening.
I fell asleep on that one.
He's writing new notes.
His superpower is just falling asleep while podcasting.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. So what I figured was all of our listeners and the people on our Facebook and all that, they could send us their ideas and we'll read those as well. If we find something we think is kind of cool, we'll read it. And then each week, one of us can read or two of us can read what our idea is. Mine's kind of long because I get a little in depth with things, clearly.
I see.
So I'm going to try to get through it quickly, but it's a lot of information.
Do you need a Wizard magazine?
I do.
I got a couple.
This is like a whole page, man.
Donnie, watch the master. He doesn't even pretend to try and have notes.
Yeah.
He's just going to read
from
the page.
There's way too much. So the name of it is Variance and Virtue. It's set in a dystopian future where society is divided into supporters of an overlord government and an equally politically agenda-driven resistance. There's just basically all around general badness. A girl with powers of time travel, flight, super strength, who is a current superhero at the time. Her name is Variance, and she champions the decency and respect over the principles of both the resistance and the overlords. But all of a sudden now she's losing her memory, and her ability to grasp the reality around her. Until losing her memory, her greatest strength, even above her enhanced abilities, was being able to discern what was right, just, and decent. But now she's losing her mind, and she can no longer see through the propaganda that each side is forcing her, you know? So she's kind of rendered useless. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know who to defend or who to save. But she still has glimpses of the past. So in order to piece her life back together and to right herself, she travels through time to the glimpses. And in the glimpses, she's a child carrying out the missions of her father, who sends her to, you know, out to help save the world. But she realizes that she's well outside of her normal life's timeline, and that the positive things that he's sending her to do have increasingly horrible outcomes. She figures out that this isn't her real father at all. This man stole her from her original timeline to change the past, to cause the dystopian future in which she believes she belongs. So here's the first twist.
The first twist hasn't happened
this
yet?
This is the Shyamalan twist. Okay. The terrible present day is actually her doing. Uh-huh. She finds that her true given name is Virtue from her original timeline. And it's seemingly a much better place. But even there, she'll eventually find out that the utopian society that she tries to protect, it's just as bad. I mean, they're using her to protect their own interests. Mm. So her new goal is to set right all the things that her kidnapper changed with her as a child. I'm kind of losing my place here. There's a lot, guys. So she decides that she's not going to allow her powers to have affected any sort of change.
Okay.
So that's her goal, is to fix that. But she's also battling herself as a child who believes that she's saving the world, and her father, who has dubbed her Variance. He named her that. The social relevance will be that Virtue and Variance are the same person. She's going to be a Mexican American. In the beginning, she's used as a pawn for both sides' political agendas, just like our current border issue has been used for both sides of the political spectrum, while human beings get lost in the shuffle and treated inhumanely. So it's a little girl who's taken and used for her powers to make the world a certain way, but in her actual life, in her initial reality, people were happy to use her to secure a way of life that they were accustomed to. In the prose, I want to make it clear that she loses her faith in humanity as she initially tries to promote her original utopian reality against the polar opposite agenda of her kidnapper uses to promote her in the past. And at the same time, her child form loses her faith in what she thinks is right, and both of these character developments lead her to the decision to separate herself from changing the world at all. She just wants to get back to her family, enjoy her life, and whatever that would be without her powers.
Could you go back to the part where you lost me, set in a dystopian future?
Right in the beginning. That's it.
Now, that's a lot to sink in. now I it's like your novel. It's like you tried to do a, the, like almost like I tried to do a novel. That's anybody got anything? Because I got to let it sing
for a movie.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I would do it, right?
Yeah. Right.
I could see someone grabbing that in like 2 months, like, oh, it wasn't copyrighted. You know, that's a good one, though.
Yeah. So
it sounds much more like a super powered being than a superhero to me.
Right. Thank you.
I don't know about you,
Adonis. That was in the meeting. Yeah. We missed that.
Adonis was trying to, for some reason, had categorized heroes in categories nobody understood. that's awesome. I mean, you said it was specific, and it definitely is.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought about it before, clearly, and then recently I picked it back up and like went through it again. But obviously, your ideas don't have to be that fleshed out. I'm asking you and giving
Mine
you
won't be.
A week. Zach, you have one, right?
Yeah, I don't know if we have time.
I have a hero that he drinks beer,
gives him superpowers.
Duff Man.
But he loses his memory at the same time.
And he can time travel, at least he thinks he can.
Oh my God.
But he finds out. No.
As long as he
I don't want to sound like I'm making fun, because that was great. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was too good. I'm afraid.
Why don't you save it?
Because
we're going to bring because now you've set a bar where we have to
write it on the back of a wizard
big
magazine.
Big words. Corbin, if you wouldn't mind, we're going to bring Juliet in. We're going to do some trivia like with her every once in a while. She's going to take on Justin, and she could actually take on anybody who's got a buzzer. Does anybody else have a buzzer in front of them? All right. Juliet, come on in. And she's heading on in here as slowly as possible.
I feel like the
can you get buzzer? Can you grab her?
Huh?
Is she coming in?
Cool. Yeah, she's coming in.
Try not to kick a camera. Hustle in, Jules.
While we're waiting for that, I really want to see everybody's ideas from Facebook. So make sure you can send them to my Facebook. You can send them to the group's Facebook, and we'll compile them and take a look and see like what's cool. And next week we'll throw it out there.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Definitely. Please do send those in. Comic Playground for all that information. ComicPlayground.com will bring you to get there as well. And that is a big part of what we want to do. We want to hear from people, and and maybe I'll read one as a character or something like that.
Absolutely.
How would that be? Like, that would have been a different pitch.
Let's hear it.
With Liam Neeson. Variance and Virtue, set in a dystopian future where society is divided into supporters, an overlord government, and an equally political agenda-driven resistance. Although very different if Adam Sandler did it. There's just all around a general badness. All right, so trivia time with Juliet. She's going to take on Justin. Justin has the orange bell, I believe.
Yes.
Joe with blue. Let's everybody hit yours. Juliet, hit yours so we know what it is. She's got the horn. Joe, he's got the doing.
Adonis and I are going to share
the bell, and
my buzzer is malfunctioning.
Okay,
we checked
and
them earlier;
we'll
they're
give
fine.
Him the bell.
It's all good. All right, so just keep it. That's fine.
All right.
It's a bit. all right, are you ready? Question number one: what is Sharon Carter's code name?
Agent 13.
That is correct. 1-0, Juliet.
Ding, ding, ding.
Is everybody ready?
Okay.
That should be the winning bell over there.
What is the name? What is the real name of one Pepper Potts?
Virginia Potts.
2-0. You're getting creamed, everybody.
Pepper's not her
I'm
real
not
name?
Even.
All right. Yeah. Put you, Juliet. Everybody, put your hands up.
I gotta get closer. She's killing us.
All right. How long was Captain America asleep for? Oh, that's a tie. Go again.
65 years.
Oh, she's... Come on, everybody. Let's
Justin, you're like the expert over there.
She's a destroyer, man. I can't keep up with
all right,
that.
All right, ready?
Okay.
Who found...
You feel okay?
I'm fine. I'm good.
The Tesseract.
Red Skull?
Tie.
It's Howard Stark.
I'm all like, wait, what?
All right. What is question number 5, Juliet 4, comic book expert 0. What is the name of Yondu's arrow?
Yaka arrow.
All right.
Can we just stop? Can we just?
That's DC.
Justin, you haven't.
But we have the green buzzer.
Okay. He's got a computer.
All right.
That is true. I do.
What? Number six.
Oh, Lord.
And Justin, I do realize I ruined the bit. The bit that I set up, I ruined. But that's okay. Number six. Juliet, give these guys a chance. Maybe.
Both of their hands are on top of the buzzer.
Yeah. Juliet, use your left arm.
And Joe actually can look at the answers. Right next
to him. I'm trying to read them.
Joe, what year was the first Iron Man released?
2008.
Yes.
Yay. That's not fair.
Get close to the microphone. Are you ready? All right. Look at your buzzer. What Infinity Stone does it represent?
Space.
No.
No.
Green is time. I have the Power Stone.
There was no way she could have prepped for that. She didn't know who's going to get which buzzer.
That's a part of the bit.
All right. Seven. All right. In what movie does Tony Stark first mention a group of remarkable people?
Still beers at him.
What was that? I buzzed in as well.
Justin.
When he mentions a group of remarkable people. Yep, that is the end credit scene at the end of Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton. He walks into the bar with General Ross, and he slams it down and tells them that he's putting together a team.
Absolutely.
100%. I like how we get one right.
No, that was wrong. Nope, it was right. I'm just trying to see. Have some suspense here. All right. How many of the original six Avengers do not have powers, and who are they?
There's three, and it's Iron Man, Black Widow, and Hawkeye. Yep.
Yes, 100% correct. Number nine.
Amazing.
What superhero was not mentioned in Spider-Man Homecoming? I'll give you a list.
Okay. It's like there's probably,
probably a lot. None of the DC.
Virtue and variance.
Perfect.
A, Captain America. B, Black Widow. Or C, Bucky Barnes. Ty.
What?
You missed the buzzer.
Time.
Space.
Justin. No, spaced is what he did. Spaced.
He hit the buzzer away from him.
Justin, I believe you were in.
I have no idea.
I didn't believe you were in. Juliet, what do you got?
Bucky Barnes.
Yeah, it's Bucky Barnes. All right. How many end credit scenes are there in Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
That was
Justin.
Yeah,
that's. I'd say two.
Hold on. What were they?
What you just said, how many? Two.
Okay, two. That's incorrect. It's actually incorrect. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 had more than two.
What?
Anybody else?
No idea.
Three.
This isn't The Price is Right.
You get both showcases. Juliet.
There were four.
What are they?
There was the one where, because Yondu died, so the Yaka arrow.
Closer to the microphone.
The one guy, I forgot his name.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yaka arrow.
There was Adam Warlock.
We shall call him Adam.
And then
Howard the Duck.
Oh, yeah. There was the one with Teenage Groot, right? And then there was the Stan Lee cameo.
What did Stan Lee say in it?
I don't remember.
He's dusting. He's dusting the Iron Man armor or something, isn't he?
Oh, was he out in space? Is that what it was? All right. Well, that's
he was.
So there were five.
I remember he was with.
Was it five?
He was like
there were five.
There
were
five. He was an astronaut that was hanging out with like the Watchers or something like that when
correct.
They were zapping back and forth.
All right. So there were five, and Juliet only wins by eight. What do you have them? Do you have a list of them, Justin?
Yeah, I did. All of them.
Have you looked up the answers?
Well, that's his job.
Well,
Well, he wasn't trying to win it. He was just trying lost. To get the, so, he was trying to get it correct.
Yeah, I'm just a fact checker. You're cool. You're good. I yield.
What are they?
Kraglin tries to control Yondu Zero, who's
Kraglin.
Yeah. Sean Gunn, it's James Gunn's brother. Stekar Ogord reunites with his crew. So Sylvester Stallone is Stekar Ogord. Yeah, so it's good. Got a cameo by Miley Cyrus as a robot in that scene.
That was Miley Cyrus?
Yep. Ving Rhames and Michelle Yao are also in that scene.
We have the meat.
Along with Michael Rosenbaum, who's a great guy.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
Third one, Aisha creates Adam Warlock. And Peter scolding teenage Groot. And then the final one is Stan Lee is boring the Watchers by talking to them,
all
I guess.
Right, so fine. Well, congrats. We're going to do some trivia every once in a while, and hopefully you guys study up and get a little better.
I mean, I thought we were going to do comic book trivia. Ooh.
There's a chance. Oh, Corbin, you had all the answers?
I had like five.
Okay, it's you versus Juliet
next
time.
It's also about how fast you are.
It's Rocky versus Apollo. That's what it is. All right, get on your American flag uniform and your hat. All right, Juliet, very good. Thank you very much, the Trivia Master. Everybody, clap, clap like she just did some trivia or did some karaoke. Corbin, you're back in. Come on. Corbin, we're wrapping up. We got, we're going to do one more thing here, one more major thing. You guys had brought up in the texting and stuff that we had earlier in the week. These Bill Maher comments, I saw them. Who wanted to start on that? Was there somebody?
I know for me personally.
Could you do it closely to the mic?
Sorry. Hi.
I'm Adonis.
I am Adonis. I know for me personally, I just wanted to kind of discuss what it means to be a nerd or a geek nowadays. Because I know for me, when I was younger, it was, you know, it was very apparent what that meant. It still meant the same thing, except we were in the beginning stages of fading away from that being a bad thing or not so cool thing. I flaunted the fact that I love cartoons and read comic books and things like that, and it made me different. And I was the... Me along with a number of my friends were the nerds that got to float through all the different groups that, you know, are formed in high school and things like that. And I just want to know if that's still a thing, especially after 21 Jump Street and everything like that. Like, that stuck with me a little bit. The whole them going to school in a different time frame and then trying to go back to school and then trying to reprise their roles in high school and it not working at all. And I thought, man, I wonder if that would happen to me, or would I be the same? So I guess that's why I started the conversation, if you will.
Gotcha. Yeah, to like address his comments directly, because I carrying off where you are, that's interesting, and I don't have an answer for that just yet. But I thought that was, I mean, I think I'm of the opinion that everyone to each his own as far as mm-hmm. how they look at their interests. You don't have to like comic books. You don't have to be a superhero fan. Yeah. You know, everyone, you could like the superhero books and not like the movies or vice versa. It doesn't matter. I thought it was just a little bit disrespectful and unnecessary. Maybe just the attack. And I mean, I read over it just a little bit ago and it seemed rather pointed. And I guess from his angle, it was directly addressing what he thought his premise comic books being for kids and that people who like them as their adults, that's what he frowned upon. And I thought that was interesting because that kind of overlooks like a great portion of comic books that are or graphic novels that are for adults with adult themes that are yep. straight up stories. But because the medium is different, it's overlooked or swept aside. And I think that's just a common thing in general. So to see that put on a public level, I wasn't really fond of it. But
yeah, but mm-hmm. you know, I'm just going to come at it like this, guys. Mm-hmm. I know that you guys have dealt with some things, you know, growing up and being comic book fans. We all get made fun of for something or another. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think you just don't take offense to things people say and you'll be a lot happier. I get
especially
it.
It's a comedian yeah. who's doing it. It's not your leader at your work. Or
right.
something
I'm not
like
brushing
that.
It off. I get it. I totally get it. I've been made fun of my entire life for lots of different things. But in the end, what somebody says doesn't even mean something. And they're not usually thinking about, you know, people's feelings. They're just trying to get another point across. I think from what I remember, a lot of his point was that stories that he's talked about before, at least, that the stories that we are into now are superheroes and none of it is real life. But the way you guys look at it, it is a reflection of real life. It's just told in a different kind of story. And if somebody doesn't like to see it that way on that abstract view, that's fine. Whatever. It doesn't really matter. There's no reason to hate a person. I didn't say that you were, but I've seen some people had some big reactions. Just let it go. Let it go.
See, it heats me up for a different reason altogether, though.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at what he said, it comes from a weird place. Clearly, the man has some sort of either issue about it, or he's just using it to get some sort of something in the media. And that's all fine and dandy. I get that. But, I mean, we did grow up on comic books and superheroes and doing the right thing and protecting people that were innocent. There are people that don't have the psyche that we have, the confidence and the growth that we've been able to go through. And some of these people, this is all they have to hang on to. And I think that you've got to be careful as somebody that's in the media like that to make sure that you're not talking down to somebody that might be their last lifeline.
Yeah.
And that's real. That's that's the thing.
I get it, but I don't think people care. I mean, the people that are saying the things, they don't care.
No,
and
no.
It's
no. That's the problem.
I don't think it's that. I want to clarify that. I didn't think your look on that was.
Oh yeah.
No, the people saying the stuff, they say it because that's how they react to everything. Anyways, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He does that. That's his style. That's what he does. He gets a rise out of people, and he might believe everything he says. I don't know. I've seen enough television and heard enough radio in my time that people only believe a small part of what they say, and then it gets amplified, and they get some press off of it, and they go with it more. I don't know. But to me, I totally get your point, but at the same time, I'm like, and maybe not everybody can walk away and not everybody learns it, but the best thing to do is just kind of walk away from it. And there's always going to be mean people and mean kids.
Oh, sure.
So.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that offended me the most was how he pronounced Pokemon. It was like the Pokemon cards. I was like, really? Like, I mean, just a little bit of effort on that one.
It's
Come on.
Mon.
It's Mon.
That's like, I had so many angry discussions with my parents when I was trying to have them give me money so I can buy Pokemon cards. And they were like, what is this Pokemon? What is that? What is that? What is a Pokemon? What is that? Some kind of, or a Digipoke. A Digipoke. What's up, Digipoke?
Now it's on Facebook. You used to poke people digitally. It's a Digipoke.
It's so annoying. It's so annoying that you can't even like respect the medium enough to pronounce it properly. And I think I take offense to that
because of my name. There are people that are going to watch the Super Bowl this weekend and go, they'll be at a highfalutin party. I was talking with my friend Al on another podcast, and he's like, he was at a Super Bowl party last year. It's completely catered, and people were like, oh, if you're into these guys running around and tackling each other, whatever. But everybody doesn't like the same things, mm-hmm. and you just have to realize that and move on. Donnie, did you have anything to add to this? Or did you bully someone?
No. Rob Liefeld, creator of Deadpool and all that, he actually tweeted out to Mara saying, gotta read my notes here.
Yeah, we're waiting for you to read
the
notes.
Yeah, I know, I'm trying to find which. Well, I got two. I got Kevin Smith and I got Rob
Liefeld.
One
at a time.
Look at it. Rob Liefeld, I'd like to suggest comics written by Alan Moore or Frank Miller. The writing story and or the writing and storytelling is outstanding. So thought that was cool. What?
No, it's good. It's just good. It was the way you ended that was funny.
If he thinks comics are so kiddish, you know, you just
no. It's very good. I love that you researched it.
Yeah,
and I love that you had a great quote. very good. Excellent. Justin, do you have anything?
Yeah, I mean, we're still talking about the comments, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely a desperate move, I think, to stay relevant, because he did it exactly around the time Stan Lee died. So that's where a lot of the outrage came from.
Yeah, and so he's always relevant in some, some
I think
terms.
That one hit a nerve with a lot of folks, though, just because people had cherished.
Probably not his audience in the first place, right?
No.
Then when you look at that, a lot of times people, they don't mind making people angry who probably aren't watching them in the
right.
first.
And it was gets them to watch. He made a political statement. It was a political sentence that he was using the to basically denounce comic books. He basically, you know, said that, and I don't think it's a huge stretch to suggest that our president can only get elected in a country that thinks comic books are important.
Right. So he tied it. Yeah. Once you tie things else.
So that happened. There was backlash around that time. And then he circled back a few days ago and started talking about it again, where he kind of doubled down on what he said. And
I'm with the comic book people. Let me say this. I don't care where you are fall, on what side of a wall, but I'm going to let you know that I Thrumpos. Thank you.
Like
resetting Rock'em Sock'em Robots. That's my little Rock'em Sock'em wall builder.
All right, so we're wrapping up here. Anybody got any? They got to be quick because we are. This is by far the longest podcast we've done.
There's these toys.
Okay.
Marvel.
This is Legends.
Legends.
Marvel Legends.
Legends.
Yes.
Hasbro.
Yes.
Exciting.
Yes. Correct. Yes, I saw what you had put this on our group talk Slack, yeah. And apparently not everybody's seen it. But the Marvel, you know somebody who works at Hasbro or grew up with somebody.
Yeah, he works at Hasbro and he manages the Marvel Legends line entirely. So
and that is amazing.
He's offering to send us out some.
Yes,
of these,
please.
Oh, please.
Yes, please. Spider-Man.
Time to decorate
figures.
The desk.
Yeah. So yeah, now that we're starting to get all our gear up here, yeah.
Get some toys.
What are you looking forward to, Donnie?
Oh, I want to see what he has in the Wolverine X-Men line.
There you go.
All right.
Is there a line just for Wolverine in the X-Men? Or
I actually wouldn't. I know he has his own comic and everything like that. And Wolverine is probably the most popular X-Men.
Oh yeah, I'd say that before
for sure.
So.
All right. Anybody else? Any other random thoughts?
Yeah. Just shout out to Stan Lee's family, friends, and fans gathered today in Hollywood at the TCL Chinese Theater to pay basically a last public tribute to Stan Lee and his life. It was moderated by Kevin Smith, who basically talked about him. The event had like speakers, musical performances, art exhibit. They had a private gathering afterwards with the immediate family and some of the people closest to him. His daughter was there.
Every day outside of the Chinese Theater is a tribute to Stan Lee. Pretty with much. Those people dressed up as comic book characters out there doing the autograph or not autograph photograph
photographs.
Yeah,
auto photographs.
Yeah, auto photographs.
Auto photos.
Somebody invited Bill Maher to that. Wow. They really did. Somebody like sent out like an open invitation to him to come. They just wanted him to see
up as a character.
No, I think they wanted him to see like how many people this gentleman has affected in a positive manner. So,
well, you know what, Ace, Todd McFarlane talked extensively about how much Stan Lee affected him and helped him throughout the years, and even changed how he looked at the audiences there at the Comic Cons. So that was pretty cool to listen to him talk about that. So, all right, that is it for today. We will be back next week. Zach, I believe, is going to be gone. You're going on a mountain.
I'm
hike.
Off to Mexico.
Are you?
Ooh. Yeah.
You think you're going to be able to make it back?
This is a valid concern. There may be a state of emergency.
All right, comicplayground.com for all the information. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and all the good things. Comment. Only positive stuff. We don't like the people Bill Maher in us. All right. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Bye, guys.
Cheers. Cheers.